They tried to make me go to rehab. I said no, no, no. Yes, I've been black, but when I come back, no, no, no. I ain't got the time.
Hello, Gamecock Nation. This is Buck with the RubberChickensBlog.com, and welcome to another edition of Buckshots. We are, of course, in the middle of a series where we're reviewing every South Carolina football season since 1987. We are to the year 2007, the third year of Steve Spurrier's tenure at South Carolina. And I would say that 2007 is probably the year that the honeymoon came to an end for Steve Spurrier with South Carolina. I think the first 2 years... You know, the first year, definitely, we were just so giddy to have Steve Spurrier as our head coach. And we had a couple of important wins over Tennessee and Florida. We did finish that season with losses to Clemson and then Missouri in the bowl game. And then in 2006, had some tough losses, but kind of reversed it there in at the end of the year and had victories over Clemson and then over Houston in the Liberty Bowl. So 2007, I don't know if we really knew what we had going in. I think we were hopeful. We were probably a borderline top 25 team based on what everybody was saying. And I think if you're a realistic Gamecock fan, you probably thought we were somewhere in that range as well. So we started off 2007 against Louisiana Lafayette. Blake Mitchell was a senior quarterback at the time, and Mr. Mitchell was suspended for the University of Louisiana at Lafayette game for, I think it was for missing classes or something. It wasn't anything too bad. So he missed that game. And I can't remember if Chris Smelly or Tommy Beecher started the game. They both played and they both threw for around 100 yards. Nothing great. I think probably Smelly started, but not 100% certain. Was a tough game. It was 14 all until Corey Boyd scored a touchdown with about 24 seconds left in the first half, and then we scored another touchdown in the third quarter to pretty much salt the game away, and we win at 28-14. So not the most confidence-inducing game against Louisiana Lafayette as we headed to Georgia. Georgia had a stout team that year. They had Matthew Stafford, no Sean Moreno. We're just loaded. But, of course, Georgia's, they're kind of loaded every year. And this year was no exception. They were ranked number 11 in the country. I actually had a buddy of mine who's a big Georgia fan. His wife was pregnant at the time, asked me if I knew I was a big South Carolina fan, said, hey, you want to go with me? And I think he was pretty confident in a Georgia victory on that day, so he didn't have any problem inviting me along. And I was at the tailgate with all his friends, and they were nice people. I mean, really nice people. But as soon as we started talking about the game, they were just really patronizing. Just like, oh, no, man, y'all are good, man. This is going to be a tough game. But you could tell they really didn't think it was going to be a tough game. I think most Georgia fans thought this was going to be a pretty easy win for the Dogs. And fortunately, I hung out with those guys for 2 or 3 hours, and T-Bone and his wife, K-Bone, were also in the vicinity, and he called me, and we hooked up, and it was just a broiling hot day, as it usually is in early September in the Southeast. And so I hooked up with T-Bone and K-Bone, and we walked around Athens a little bit and found this bar where there was nobody in there. We didn't even know they were open. So we go into the bar, find a booth. You know, we asked the bartender, you guys serving? He said, yeah, we've been waiting on people to come in. And it was like we were the only people in there for about an hour, and we had beers, and we talked. And then all of a sudden, people started to come in, and it was just, it was air-conditioned, and it was wonderful. I had just a nice time hanging out with those guys, and then walked over to the stadium, met back up with my buddy, and had just great seats, like 40-yard line seats. And between the two of us, he's a hand-wringing Georgia fan, and I'm a hand-wringing South Carolina fan, and we were both expecting the worst pretty much the whole game. We held Georgia to 4 field goals in the game. Corey Boyd had a nifty 9-yard touchdown run. I believe it was in the second quarter. Blake Mitchell was back, had a solid game, didn't have any spectacular numbers, I think threw for 170 or so yards. Kenny McKinley had 7 catches for 102 yards. And we held on late to beat Georgia 16-12, so a great win. One of my other memories from that game was Mark Richt loved this little hide-the-ball trick on short yardage situations, fourth downs, and all of his quarterbacks run it really well, where they fake the ball to the tailback, and the quarterback sticks the ball in his gut and just kind of walks off like he's handed the ball off. And great at the play fake, and they can usually hit a long ball on that. And I remember Eric Norwood not falling for it, and the TV cameras didn't catch it because they actually followed the runner into the line of scrimmage, but Eric Norwood just blew up Matthew Stafford on this fourth down, and South Carolina took over. I don't remember at what point in the game that was, but I just remember it just reiterated to me what a smart football player Eric Norwood is. He had obviously studied tape. He knew tendencies in that situation and just destroyed Matthew Stafford. This was the highest-ranked team that a Spurrier-coached South Carolina team had beaten. Georgia was number 11 at the time. I remember Spurrier said, this is not a shock. We knew we matched up well against Georgia, and we thought we had a good chance coming in here, and sure enough, they went at 16-12. Incidentally, Georgia went on to go 11-2. Their only other loss was to Tennessee, so they did not make the SEC championship game, but they did get a BCS at-large berth to the Sugar Bowl, where they just dropped the hammer on Hawaii. So that was a nice win, and I remember my Georgia buddy, after the game, we went back to the tailgate, and all these Georgia fans that had been so nice and patronizing to me, I think if I'd had stayed an extra, 30 minutes, there may have been a fight. Nobody wanted me there after that was all said and done. Fortunately, my friend, nice guy, and he didn't feel that way. He actually took me home. But one thing he did say to me, he said, hey, you know what? Nice win. No way you guys are beating LSU. Which was a game that would come up a couple weeks later. The following week, we beat South Carolina State 38-3. Downside to that game, Blake Mitchell threw 3 interceptions. Tommy Beecher got some playing time. He threw an interception. It was a little bit of an omen for the quarterback situation for the rest of the year. We played LSU the following week at LSU. Was never that close a game. We only lost 28-16, but LSU was clearly the better team that day. Blake Mitchell started. Chris Smelly came in and played some, and as soon as that game was over, Steve Spurrier named Chris Smelly the starter against Mississippi State the following week. The big play in that game was a fake field goal. I'm sure you guys remember. LSU was up 14-7, and I'm going by memory here. They were up 14-7, lined up to kick a field goal, and the holder was Matt Flynn, their quarterback, and Flynn takes the snap, and Colt David, their kicker, runs behind him, and Flynn just flipped it over his head to Colt David, and there was really nobody there for the Gamecocks, and he, pretty long run, I think it was 30 or 35 yards he ran for a touchdown, and Les Miles just had the biggest crap-eating smirk on his face after that play was successful. You knew he had pulled one over on the head ball coach. Corey Boyd that game, 18 carries, 17 yards. Did not have a good game that day, but our rushing game was not good at all. Our offense was not good at all that day against LSU. Following week, we take on Mississippi State at home. Chris Smelly does get the start, and boy, did we think we had something going. He threw for 279 yards and 2 touchdowns. Kenny McKinley had 4 catches for 107 yards. Pretty tight game. We scored 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter to put that one away. That was a noon or a 12:30 Jefferson Pilot type game. So the following week was an interesting game. Kentucky was undefeated and ranked number 8 coming into Columbia on a Thursday night. And I just remember, I don't know any Kentucky fans personally, at least that I talk to on a regular basis, but just the message board talk, and it was Kentucky was so confident. They just felt like they were looking down our noses at us, and there was just no chance that South Carolina was going to be able to beat this eighth-ranked Kentucky team that had a Heisman candidate in Andre Woodson. And I don't think the pundits gave us a lot of chance either. A lot of people were high on Kentucky at this point. And we came out, Eric Norwood scored a defensive touchdown early. He scored one in the third quarter. So two defensive touchdowns, one on a fumble recovery, and one he picked up a backwards pass, which I guess would also classify as a fumble recovery, and ran it in. Norwood had a great game, really burst onto the national scene there. And we beat those guys 38-23. So it was a big Thursday night win for us. Kentucky finished the season. They had a couple of tough losses down the stretch. I think they only wound up with about 7 or 8 wins after being ranked as high as number 8. So a disappointing finish for those guys, and glad to say that we were the ones who got that rolling. Speaking of getting bad things rolling, we went to North Carolina the next week. A highly anticipated game against an old, old rival of ours, an old ACC rival. Went to Chapel Hill. This was not a good North Carolina team. They were 2-4, I think, coming into the game. We jumped on them early, had a 21-3 lead. Chris Smelly had 3 touchdown passes in the first half. And the wheels just completely came off in the second half. And we didn't get the wheels back on for the entire season. The offense just basically stopped working in the second half. And as a matter of fact, Steve Spurrier had an interesting comment after the game. He said, we tried to run and call all that conservative crap and never could get it going again. And which is interesting because I think Spurrier was calling the plays, but he was very frustrated with the offense. North Carolina cut the lead to 6 points with a little over 3 minutes to go. We could not run out the clock, couldn't get a first down. North Carolina got the ball back and got down as far as about our 35-yard line and had a couple of shots at the end zone there at the end. And on the last play of the game, Kenny McKinley and Jared Cook, a wide receiver and tight end respectively, were in the game to play defense and bat down some passes. So we escaped Chapel Hill with a 21-15 win, and it just didn't feel right. I got to tell you, being up 21-3 felt great. It felt like we were, after the win over Kentucky, maybe we had something really good going, but you just knew something didn't feel right after that game was over. And we would have loved to have beaten North Carolina again, but they canceled on us a couple of times. So now the return engagement is actually in 2 weeks when we meet up with them for the first game of the 2013 season. So they've run from us long enough. So the next week, an extremely, extremely memorable game as far as I'm concerned. My son was, I guess, 7 years old at the time, and he had never been to a South Carolina game. We'd been in Atlanta his whole life and had just never had a chance to get over. So I said, we got a highly ranked team. We were top 10 at this point. We'd only lost one game. What better game, what more of a stress-free game to take him to than a Vandy game? Vandy was did not have a good record. I think they had played some good football, but didn't have a good record at the point. And at that point, I felt like, I could enjoy the game with my son. We could have a victory, our first game together. And it was terrible. I mean, it was a beautiful day, and Vandy jumped out to a 17-0 lead in the first half. They were up 17-6 at halftime, and neither team scored in the second half. Just an awful football game. We lost 3 interceptions, lost 1 fumble, 4 turnovers. We only had 282 yards of total offense. Vandy only had 269 yards of total offense. And I remember we left maybe early fourth quarter. I mean, it was just one of those games where you felt hopeless. There was no, we couldn't get anything going. And we dropped just a horrible game to Vandy. I think that's the highest-ranked team a Vanderbilt team has ever beaten. So, tough loss. Tough, long ride home after that game. It was our second loss of the year. Then we go to Tennessee the following week. Tennessee jumps on us 21-0. Again, just feeling terrible about it. Feeling like maybe this team is just folding up the tent. And South Carolina played one of the best halves they've played in the Spurrier era, scored 24 unanswered points in the second half to take a 24-21 lead. Tennessee gets the ball last, and they had set up for a 43-yard field goal. The kicker for Tennessee missed the field goal, Daniel Lincoln, but Tennessee was called for a penalty, for a false start. So after missing the 43-yarder, because it was a dead ball penalty, Tennessee got to kick it again from 48, and Daniel Lincoln made it to send it to overtime, which was the first overtime game in South Carolina history. Tennessee scored on a field goal on their first possession, and we couldn't move the ball, and Ryan Succop missed a 40-yarder on our first possession, and we fall to Tennessee 27-24. Blake Mitchell was back at the helm in this game after Chris Smelly had a rotten game against Vanderbilt the week before. Mitchell was 31 of 45 for 290 yards. Kenny McKinley had just a beastly day. 14 catches, 151 yards. Corey Boyd, 20 carries, 160 yards. We outgained Tennessee 501 to 317. But once again, four turnovers, and we lost three fumbles on the night. So a tough loss. Third loss of the season. Second loss in a row. Two and a half, if you count the second half against that North Carolina team. Then we went to Arkansas. And G-Man, T-Bone, and I were down at Fripp Island for this one. We got our fishing done early enough to get in and watch the game. It was a ESPN night game. Let me just give you a couple of stats here. Darren McFadden, 34 carries, 321 yards. Felix Jones, 13 carries, 166 yards. Arkansas had 651 total yards of offense. Let me repeat that, 651 yards of total offense. We were playing catch-up to those guys the entire game. Blake Mitchell, once again, big game, 27 out of 51 for 364 yards. But we were just couldn't get to within one score. We couldn't get close enough until there were about 8 minutes left in the game. We scored to cut the lead to 42-36, and we're thinking, wow, after as miserable as we have been, we have a chance to win this game. We kick off to Arkansas. They get the ball on their own 20-yard line. Darren McFadden goes 80 yards on the first play of that next series and basically put the game away. We just could not stop that Arkansas team. As frustrating a game as you could possibly imagine. Arkansas wins that one 48-36. That's three straight losses for us. And then we have Florida at home the following week. Florida beats us 51-31. Let me give you some more numbers. This is the numbers buckshots Gamecock flashback. Tim Tebow, 304 yards passing, 120 yards rushing, 7 touchdowns, 5 rushing, 2 passing. Again, this one was a game we were never really in. They pretty much controlled it from the beginning. And I just added this up. Between Tebow, McFadden, and Jones, between the Arkansas and Florida games, the three of those guys had 911 yards and 11 touchdowns in two games. Just incredible numbers. McFadden, even though he had 321 rushing in that Arkansas game, he only had 1 touchdown. So, just amazing numbers on defense from a squad that was considered one of the top defenses in the nation earlier in the season as we were shutting people down. Three guys, 911 yards, 11 touchdowns in the course of two games. So our last hope at any redemption for this season was the Clemson game. We played them at home. We come in with a 6-5 record, and we know that no bowl is going to take a team on a 5-game losing streak that finishes 6-6. So we really need this Clemson game pretty badly. Clemson jumps out 17-7, at the half. Once again, we fight back and we take the lead 21-20 on a Dion LeCorn reception, touchdown reception, with about 9 minutes left. Clemson drives down, and I can't remember. They got the ball, couldn't move it, and we got the ball and couldn't move it, so they got the last possession. I think we had an opportunity, really, to get a couple of first downs and run it out, and we couldn't do it. So Clemson gets it back and drives. They had at least one fourth down and maybe a couple of third downs. I just remember, I'm thinking it was Captain Munnerlyn that was hurt, and Addison Williams substituted in for him. And Aaron Kelly of Clemson, very good wide receiver for those guys, just ate him up on slants. Just too big, too fast. Got the conversions when Clemson needed them. Got their kicker, Buchholz, within range to kick a 35-yarder at the gun. And he did, and Clemson won that game 23-21. Blake Mitchell ended his career by going 18 of 31 for 284 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a couple of interceptions. Kenny McKinley, 8 catches, 125 yards, and 2 touchdowns. But South Carolina finished the season with their 5th straight loss. And that was the end of the season. And that's why I say that the Spurrier honeymoon was over. So the first year, we can definitely give him a pass. The second year, you're thinking, well, you know, he's still playing with Holt's players. He's got a few of his own. But I think the third year, we were thinking something special might happen. And with the start we had, just the loss to LSU, a 5-1 start, we felt pretty good about things. But the team just came apart in the second part of 2007. And was an unfortunate finish and definitely made a lot of Gamecock fans uneasy about how things were going during the Steve Spurrier era at this point. So, we end 2007 on a pretty bad note, but as always, there is hope during the offseason and heading into the following season, and we will look at 2008 on the next edition of Buckshots. I am Buck for TheRubberChickensBlog.com. Thanks so much for joining me for this review of the 2007 Gamecock football season, and we will talk to you later.
make me go to rehab.